Well, it's great seeing everybody here. We always appreciate coming and the opportunity to preach when I come. I appreciate very much. We appreciate Steve and Mary's ministry here. We appreciate all the saints here that support the ministry here in Chattanooga. They were family and they are family to us, and so it's great to come and be with them. But we appreciate, as Steve mentioned, all the men and their dedication and faithfulness to support this ministry. And appreciate hearing all the good stories about the Word of God going out here. And it was good hearing from Paul Allen this morning. And it's great to hear about Ryan's ministry. And it's exciting, the radio ministry here. There's just so much going on here. Most of it started happening after we left. So, you know, it's something I rejoice that in the spiritual activity that's going on here, and appreciate all you folks. I appreciate seeing saints that are willing to come and support a Bible conference. We are having a Bible conference October 15th, 16th, and 17th, as Steve mentioned. And if you're interested, let me know. Give me your email address, and I'll be glad to send a flyer to you or give you more information. But I'm standing between you and lunch, so I'm going to get started real quick here. I'd like you to turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 7. And we're going to start reading in verse 18. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about living under grace. I'd like to talk with you about the Word of God giving us all the instruction we need to live a victorious Christian life, walking in the identity God has made us in Christ. And praise the Lord, God has given us such light, clear light in His Word, how to access by faith the grace God has given us to walk in and the life He's given us in His Son. Romans chapter 17, first of all, I'd like to start, or chapter 7, first, there aren't 17 chapters, but first I'd like to start reading with you in verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, notice, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. One thing that I want you to notice there, verse 17 is one place where we're given this instruction, that whenever there's sin active in us, it's that sin in our flesh. And verse 17 says, Paul says as a believer, now then it is no more I that do it, but sin which dwell within me. The biggest challenge in our Christian walk is to trust God's Word and to by faith believe what God and His Word says who you really are as a believer. When we have sin that we all deal with on a daily basis, moment by moment through our day, don't identify with that as a believer. Instead, recognize and agree with the Word of God that God's Word said you're crucified with Christ. That old man has been crucified and identified with Christ on the cross of Calvary. When Christ died to pay for your sins, your old man died with Christ. That old nature has been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live. Yet not us, but Christ which liveth in us. And the life which we live in the flesh with this old sin nature, we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. Galatians 2:20. But He is faithful to live His life in us. That new life that we have is the life that Christ has given us. We're identified together with Him in His resurrection. The moment we trusted that Christ died for our sins, God the Holy Spirit identified us, baptized us into the Lord Jesus Christ. And He sealed us. God the Holy Spirit sealed us there. And it says in Titus chapter 3 that God the Holy Spirit regenerated by the washing and renewal of the Holy Ghost. He regenerated our spiritual nature. That is our inward man. That's the new creature God has made us in Christ. In our spiritual nature, it once was dead, according to Ephesians 4, it's now been regenerated and made alive. Paul says that's who we are, that new man. Now, our soul is influenced by either that spiritual nature, that new regenerated spiritual nature God has made us in Christ, the one that God the Holy Spirit indwells, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit, that's who we are, that's our inward man. But then there's that flesh that's in our old sin nature that's resident in our flesh that we'll have to deal with until we die. And that's not who we are. We need to separate ourselves from that identity. I hear people say, that's who I am. You know, just excuse my bad behavior, that's who I am. That's not who you are as a believer. That's your flesh. And God, in His Word, gives you the wisdom and instruction how to put that off and put on the new identity God has given you in His Son. Now go with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 8, and I want you to begin reading with me in verse 5. Now, at the end, we just saw in Romans chapter 7, verse 25, at the end of the chapter, he says, verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ, so then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. Now notice, with the mind, verse 5 of Romans 8. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So there's two ways to mind as a believer, in your walk as a believer. You can either mind the things of the flesh, or you can mind the things that are after the Spirit. Look at verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So there's minding. There's some instruction that we get an understanding of, and then we're to mind those things. And when we do mind the things that the instruction and the leading of God the Holy Spirit gives us in His Word, Romans through Philemon, then when we mind those things, the things that God's Word says He's made us in His Son, and our true identity that we have in Christ, an inward man, when we believe what God's Word says about making us righteous in Christ, and that He's forgiven us all trespasses, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. When we mind those things, verse 6 says, there's life and peace. When we walk in that reality of the spirit, the reality of the spiritual identity God has made us in His Son, there's life and peace. Verse 7, because the carnal mind, notice, is enmity against God. Your old sin nature hates God. Your old sin nature doesn't believe in God. Your old sin nature doubts your salvation. Your old sin nature gets down and discouraged when you think about your circumstances, when things get you down. Your old sin nature loves to live down there below the snake line. It wants to pull you down. Your old sin nature loves depression and just loves to dwell where there's defeat and discouragement. Your old sin nature tries to be good. It tries to live in human good and self-righteousness. It tries to show everybody how good you are. That's your old nature. Your old nature will if you walk in, we talk about the difference between walking in human good and religion, playing church as Christians. Your old nature loves that. Matter of fact, as believers, the side of our old sin nature that's dominant is the human good side of our old nature. I'm talking about human good. The things that tradition taught us is good. The things the old nature tries to do to elevate the flesh. The things that we try to do in our flesh to gain God's acceptance and favor. Not walking by faith in the acceptance God has given us in the Beloved. The acceptance we have because of what Christ accomplished for us at Calvary. The acceptance that we have because of God's grace. And for us, as believers, we want to live up to the life that God has given us in His Son. We want others to see Christ in us. It's not about showing others how good we are, is it? But that old nature, when it tries to be self-righteous and tries to demonstrate how good we are, it'll fall on its face every day, moment after moment through your day, till you eventually get to the place where you say, that I just can't do it anymore, and you fall out in your Christian life, and you get discouraged and depressed and down because you can't do it. You couldn't do it to save yourself. You can't do it to live the Christian life. But if you look with me here, Romans chapter 8, talking about verse 6 says to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's what we all want, is peace in our life with God. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Your flesh on its best day can't be reformed. It's an enemy of God. It'll never believe God's word. It'll never want to read God's word. It doesn't want to live in submission to God's word and his message he's given us to walk in. So you got to put that off. Notice verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh. Notice you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So your inward man is who you are. You're not the flesh. He said, remember chapter 7, he said, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. That's who you were, that old nature. But with God, the Holy Spirit, indwelling your inward man, that's who you are, and we're to mind the things that are after the Spirit. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness, the righteousness God has made in Christ. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, God the Holy Spirit resident in your inward man, your spiritual nature, if he dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also, notice, quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Mortal bodies are our bodies that are subject to death. As we walk in our Christian life, we walk around this body of flesh. God the Holy Spirit will quicken, make alive, this body that's mortal, subject to death. That's our walk right now as believers. That's not first talking about our hope that one day we're going to get raised to walk in newness of life. That's our hope in Christ. But this verse is talking about God the Holy Spirit, with his word, comes alongside. He uses his word to quicken, to make us alive, to help us to walk in that new identity God has made us in Christ, to help us to, by faith, walk in the reality that we're new creatures. There's God the Holy Spirit indwelling us with his word, empowering our Christian lives when we access it by faith. Notice verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. Not losing your salvation, but death to your enjoyment of your life that God has given you to walk in Christ. Quickening your mortal bodies, that life that God the Holy Spirit you can access by faith. You're going to die to the enjoyment of walking in the Spirit if you're sowing your flesh all the time. If you walk in your flesh, all you're going to know is discouragement. You're going to know defeat. You're going to know shame. You're not going to have the joy and the peace God has, the life God has for you to walk in, that spiritual life that he's given you in Christ. So there's death to our walk as believers that we experience. That's the condemnation of Romans 8:1. He says, verse 13 with me again. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Putting off the old man, putting on the new man. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now there's the leading by God's Holy Spirit that he's talking about there. Minding the things that are after the Spirit. Verse 15, as the brother read, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we shall be also glorified together. My question for you this morning, while it's still morning, is how does the Spirit of God who dwells in us lead us as children of God? How is it that we are to go about our day minding the Spirit? How do we do that? How, in day by day, in the grind of everyday life, going through the details in our jobs and the time, going through all the details and the relationships and all the struggles we have, how is it that we're to mind the Spirit in all those things And how is it that God the Holy Spirit leads us in every area of our life? Go with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5 verse 13. We're going to look at a few passages here, so bear with me. Galatians chapter 5 verse 13. How is it that God leads us? How is it that we're to mind the Spirit in every area of our life? Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. Notice verse 18. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now, God the Holy Spirit leads us with the message God has given for us today. We find it in Romans through Philemon. It's the gospel, the good news, in Romans through Philemon, the gospel of grace. It's that message that God has given for our instruction, and it has to do with living. It teaches us to live under the acceptance we have that God has given us because of His grace, and the identity and the life that He's given us in Christ, by His Spirit identifying us together with Christ, and walking not under the law. If we put ourselves under the law, in the book of Galatians, a great book that teaches that that walking under the law is foolish, and if we've begun in the Spirit, how are we to perfect ourselves by trying to walk in our flesh under the law? It's just going to bring death and discouragement and defeat in our Christian life. But if we're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. You're led by Romans through Philemon, by the message God has given you about who and what He's made you in Christ, the message about how you are complete in Christ, blessed with all spiritual blessings. You're a new creature in Christ. You're to access by faith the identity God has given you because of His grace to walk in. And so we can't put ourselves under religious performance for God's acceptance. That's the law program. If you do this, then I'll bless you. If you don't, then I'll curse you. But instead, we're to walk in the acceptance that we have in Christ. So to be led of the Spirit is to be led by God's message and program He's given you to walk in. It's very clear. So you're not under the law, but you're under grace if you're led of the Spirit today. How do you mind the things that God's Spirit wants you to mind? You walk in the message God has given you to walk in. That Paul teaches you, he's very careful, he repeats himself and many of the doctrines he writes to the different churches in Romans to Philemon. If you just read God's Word, let it be the filter. Let the Word of God purify your mind, renew your mind. You can't miss God's clear instruction for you if you just let His Word, if you just read His Word, and let it, God the Holy Spirit take His Word and form the life of Christ in you. So to be led of the Spirit, to mind the things of the Spirit, is to read the Word of God. And when the Word of God confronts you about an area in your thinking or a problem in your life, that's how God the Holy Spirit leads you and helps confront you. The 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Word of God is going to, it gives you correction, doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. That's how God confronts us and helps us to deal, identify fleshly thinking, so that we can put it off. Help us to identify the problems in our lives that we have. The reason why it's hard to find time to get into the Word of God is your old nature hates the Word of God and doesn't want to get into it. Because the Word of God deals with it. It confronts it. You know, you don't like to be told you're wrong. Your flesh doesn't like to be told it's wrong either. So your flesh will never desire to sit down with this book and read it. There's a lot of ways to get the Word of God into our minds and to renew our minds. Besides just reading, good preaching includes a lot of scripture to help instruct us and the men of God that are faithful to apply it to the areas of our life they know we all need help with. Listening to good preaching. Alexander Scorby has the King James Bible was put on cassette for the blind folks by an organization, and Alexander Scorby narrates and reads it. You can get the Bible on cassette and on CD and DVD through that ministry, and it's very inexpensive. Great way to put it in your car, your CD player, all the different ways we need to access God's Word as much as we can, and that's how we're going to learn to mind the Spirit in every area of our life. That's how we're gonna be led by the Spirit of God when we let the Word of God confront us, and we don't run from it, but we do the honest thing. We let the Word of God confront us, convict us about that thought, that attitude in our life, and put it off as the old way of thinking, the flesh. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4 now. So he leads us under grace, under the message he's given us to walk in. That's how he leads us, with the Word of God. You know, if you wonder, is God leading me to do that? Is God leading me? You know, in my Christian life, I used to think about these things more superstitiously, and the way tradition teaches you that God leads you. And I would try to feel God's leading in a situation or a circumstance, or try to find a sign that he's leading me. And, you know, that just makes you look like a foolish person. You're like somebody groping around in the dark when you could just turn the light on in God's Word, and he'll give you instruction about what you're to do. And the question is he leading you to do that? There should be a verse that you can go to that says that's what he'd have you to do. If God's leading you today, he's leading you by his Word. He's given it for, it's complete. The Word of God is complete, it's perfect, it's everything we need to perfect us as believers, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished by the Word of God unto all good things, all good works that God has given us to walk in. So there should be a verse. If God's leading you, it's going to be by a verse, a truth that God gives you in his Word that helps you in that make a decision. He wants you to be responsible, and he wants you to let his Word guide you in your judgment and discernment in every area of your life. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. How does the rest of the world walk? If you're a member of the body of Christ, you're not to walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. How does the rest of the unsaved world and the Gentiles that are involved in Christianity, but they don't understand the truth of right division and where their instruction is? They walk in, verse 17, in the vanity of their mind, the empty minds, just going by their best guess of what they should be doing in their Christian life. Verse 18, having the understanding toward the Word of God darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Your Christian life doesn't function on the basis of ignorance. You can't just turn a deaf ear to the Word of God and expect God, the Holy Spirit, to lead you in your... And you can't expect to walk in your inward man and the new life God has given you in Christ by living in ignorance toward the Word of God. Ignorance just means you don't know. You know, that doesn't mean you're stupid. It just means you don't know. You haven't exposed yourself and let the Word of God purify your mind, renew your mind, form the mind of Christ in you. So God's Word tells you, don't live in ignorance. Don't live not having God in your thinking. But instead, verse 19 goes on to say, they walk in ignorance toward God and his Word. Verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work on cleanness with greediness. That's your flesh. Your flesh wants to turn a deaf ear toward the Word of God and what God would have you to do, because it wants to enjoy the sin that it desires to do. So your flesh is greedy. It's like a hog. It never gets enough. It'll always desire more and more until it gets you to the place. Every one of our old sin natures would get us, each one of us, to the place where we would commit suicide. That is the end of the flesh, suicide. And that's where your flesh wants to go. It doesn't want to please God. It doesn't want to enjoy the life God has. It doesn't want to appreciate the gift of life, the precious gift that God has given each one of us to walk in. The life that he gives us in his word. Your flesh doesn't want any of that. It just wants to hate life, hate God, hate others, and die. That's your old nature, and that's my old nature. We just preached a funeral for a young man that was 27 years old and a heroin addict since 1993. Smart guy, intelligent, good-looking guy. He could play guitar, sing, write music, cook. He had all kinds of talent. But his flesh just wanted to die. Flesh wanted to destroy itself. That's what your flesh wants to do. It'll self-destruct in some other way, maybe, than a heroin, I hope. Some other way. But it'll self-destruct if you let it. It just wants you to be unhappy. It loves to be unhappy, the flesh does. So you have to let the Word of God help you to identify fleshly thinking and put it off. Notice verse 20. You know, it loves walking in vanity and ignorance. The flesh just loves to let its conscience be seared with a hot iron and to justify anything the flesh wants to do. But notice verse 20. Here's the rebuke. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying. Now, before we get into this next section, I want you to see with me and agree with me that verse 23 says we're to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Walking as believers, there's some things we have to know about the Word of God. We can't walk in ignorance in our Christian lives. Like it or not, we need to read God's Word, and we need to read it daily, at least daily. And we need to read as much as we can, because that's the filter that's going to renew and purify our minds, remind us who we are in Christ, remind us who God has made us in his Son, remind us where the peace and the joy and the victory is in our Christian life, so that we can identify the thoughts and attitudes of the old nature, put them off. The Word of God's going to give us the encouragement to do that. God wants you to live with joy in your Christian life. You know, Paul says, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. God wants you to be rejoicing in the life that he's given you in his Son. There's no reason why we need to be discouraged by all our circumstances. We've been made joint heirs with Christ. We have the hope of resurrection life in Christ. He's given us the forgiveness of sins. All of the ways that we fail God, he's forgiven us for in Christ. And he's made us righteous in his Son. We're accepted. There's so much this word tells us we have to rejoice in. That's where God wants you to be. You know, we're just about out of time. I would love to go on with you, but I want you to look at this passage, this one verse, and we're going to look at two passages. I'll concede to that. Look at verse 6 of Philemon. Let me tell you where I'm at. Philemon. Romans through Philemon, the last book in Paul's epistles. Philemon, verse 6. Notice, verse 6. Paul writes to Philemon and he says that the communication of thy faith, notice, the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That's where God wants you to be. That's where your apostle wants you to be. Is he wants the Word of God to effectually work in you. He wants you to acknowledge every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That's what God wants for you. You're not going to be able to acknowledge those things if you're not in the Word of God. We need to be in the Word of God, so that we can learn about all the good things God has made us in Christ, so that we can focus on those eternal things and not on the temporary things that will corrupt and can be taken away from us. Now, the other passage that I want you to go to is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. You know, the Brother Ryan made reference to Hebrews chapter 4 when he talked about the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And notice the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart. God, the Holy Spirit, takes His Word He takes it and He examines your mind and your heart like a light that He examines you with. And He knows the thoughts and intents. He knows, discerns, He judges where motivation is coming from. Is it motivated by your flesh and human good, or is it motivated by the truth of God's Word? The Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart. Will help you to identify old nature thinking, new nature thinking. And look at here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God, which ye have heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, notice, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. How does the Word of God work in you? It works effectually in you that believe. The difference between God's Word empowering your Christian life and not is whether you believe that Word and walk by faith in it. It's up to you. I'm going to lie to you. I told you I was going to close there. I'm going to take you to one other passage. I want you to go with me to Philippians 2. Philippians 2. I just want you to see this one passage and we'll close. Philippians 2. Verse 12. Notice, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's how we're to work it out. God's Word tells us who we are in Christ. There's a conflict going on between our old nature and our new nature every moment of every day. And there's a work involved that we're to, by faith, believe that the new identity God has given us in Christ, that's who I am. That's me. I'm to put off. There's work involved with identifying the thoughts and intents of the old nature and put them off. We're to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Notice verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you, both the will and the do of His good nature. You know, there's a work we're to do, we're to apply the Word of God, and by faith access it so it can effectually work in us. But it's God that's working in us through His Word. It's every much as powerful as what people talk about, intervention of God, changing their circumstances. God could do that. But what God prefers to do is show you the wisdom that He has to, in His Word, give you everything you need to face every area and detail in your life and help you to as a mature adult believer, take His Word and by faith walk in it. And He'll give you victory. Thank you for letting me preach this morning. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank You for this time when we could get together as believers. We thank You for this, for the hospitality of the saints here at Grace Bible Church. We thank You for Your Word that's able to comfort us, encourage us, and build us up. Thank You for Your grace to provide so much for us and the riches that You've given us in Your Son. We thank You for this time together in this fellowship, for it's in Christ's name we pray and give thanks. Amen.